one genuine encounter is worth much more than a lifetime of effort.
What makes Shiloh tick is the word. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh by his word. And in a moment from now, God's word that is specifically programmed for someone somewhere is coming right now.
So Shiloh was inaugurated. Among other things, to raise overcomers.
Shiloh 2008, Manifestations of the Sons of God. Your appointment with destiny.
Humbly and boldly, we come before you this morning, our great Father, our Lord Jesus, and the blessed Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence that is already here. We give you glory and praise. Thank you because Shiloh is here himself. The Lawgiver is here himself. Receive our praise in the name of Jesus. Already you have sent your word to us, and you are sending more of it this morning, and we give you glory and praise for it. Thank you for giving your servant the mandate for Shiloh. Thank you for all the blessings in previous Shilohs, and thank you for the greater blessings in this Shiloh. To you be the glory forever. In the name of Jesus, blessed be your name. And now let your word go forth swiftly to bless this, your precious people, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. And all the saints of God who believe God is blessing them this morning, shout aloud, amen. Give God your big hand, everybody. And please take your seat. Shout hallelujah. Every lover of Jesus, wave your hand and shout a big hallelujah. This morning I'd like to humbly again count it an eternal privilege. First of all, to know and to meet God's servant, my great father in the faith, whom I love and respect with all of my heart, and continuously hold in high esteem. I want to appreciate God for the privilege God gave to me, and after a while, my wife, for meeting with him and for all the blessings he's been to us, and also for the privilege I have to stand to minister God's word this morning out of the much which we have received. I want to appreciate God's servant. I do believe that this morning, as I stand in here, it's not just me standing. The spirit of the commission is standing here with me. And every word that I speak to you by the Spirit of the Lord this morning is going to carry the same effect as when he is speaking to you. Because it is the same Spirit, the same grace. Just as the children of Israel were baptized into Moses, I'm baptized into the Spirit of the Commission. And the blessing shall reach you this morning in the name of Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Will you say with me again this morning, it is my turn to manifest. I'm not sure somebody is sure of what he's saying this morning. If it is truly your turn, you will say it stronger right now. You know the word says, as you have said in my ear, so will I do. Just like you have said it, that is what God will do for you. Come with me quickly to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1. where we have the text for the teaching that we'll be receiving this morning. Luke Gospel chapter 1 verse 80. If you are there, will you say with me, I'm manifesting. And the child grew. Say with me, I will grow. Now you see, what we have come to do at Shiloh is not just to receive the miracle of Shiloh. We have also come to build up for post-Shiloh miracles and blessings. So in this service, we are receiving the word of God to make us grow. And the child grew, because it is expected that every child should grow. And as he kept growing, he waxed strong in spirit. And was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. There is a day of showing which is preceded by the days in the desert. God is a God of process. He prepares you to manifest you. There is nothing about God that does not follow a process. God is a God of procedure. God is a God of order. And that's why till now there is no chaos in his kingdom. If you must show forth, then you must be prepared. Now, God doesn't prepare blessing. He rather prepares us for blessing. There is nothing God is looking for that he does not have. Everything you will ever need has been prepared by God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, I hath not seen, neither has he heard, nor has it entered into the mind of anyone, the things which God hath prepared for them that love them. So he had already prepared the things that you need. His only challenge is to prepare you for the things he has prepared for you. Before John was born, God had prepared a great ministry for him. But John will not be allowed to manifest himself. He will not be allowed to show himself until he was prepared for it. Without preparation, there cannot be a show. And you know, it is in God's intention to show you to the world. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. His intention is to show you forth to the world. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You have a very special gene in you. The Bible says the purpose of this is to show you forth. So God created you for a show. God gave birth to you for a show. Whatever has been covering you before now shall break forth and break loose from you for your show to be made manifest in the name of Jesus. And the child grew. Why must the child grow? Because God does not show babes and children. God manifests only sons. Our scriptural theme for Shiloh 2008 is Romans 8:19. The harnessed expectation of the whole creature waited for the manifestations for the, of the sons of God. For the manifestations of the sons of God. Now it is only sons that God manifests. He does not manifest babes. He does not manifest children. So your greatest challenge and my greatest challenge is on how we will grow into sonship. It will interest you to know that Jesus is not coming back for babes. Jesus is not coming back for children. Jesus is coming back for sons. And I'm glad to let you know that you are one of them. In the Jewish tradition, no child is allowed to be made manifest until he became 30. And looking at the life of Jesus, the first 30 years of his life, even though he had all the potential to be revealed to his world, nobody knew him. The best that Jesus attained was an award of a carpenter's son. I suppose someday they were doing some fiesta and Jesus went for the show and he won the best carpenter's award. So all they knew about him was Jesus the carpenter. That's why when his story changed, it became proverbial. Is this not Jesus the carpenter that we used to know? But one day, the story changed, just like your story is changing today. As he went for baptism, he was praying, and suddenly the heaven opened. At that time, he had become 30. And the word of God says, there was a declaration, there was a manifestation from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Beginning from today, there will be a clear announcement of your sonship. Yeah. Now please note, when Jesus was born, God didn't come down to announce him. He sent angels to meet the shepherds to announce that a child has been born. But when Jesus became a son, God the Father said, I will go there myself. You know why? A child is a joy to the father, but a son is the pride of the father. A child is a joy to the father. When Jesus was born, God said, angel, go and announce. Let them rejoice. Let them sing in heaven. So the angels began to sing. Just like the day you are born again, the Bible says there is joy in heaven over every soul that is saved. But that does not bring pride to God. What brings pride to the Father is your sonship. Your manifestation is what excites the Father. Most of us here know what I'm talking about. When a child is born to your family, few people perhaps come for the naming ceremony. But as the child grows, you begin to introduce the child. Once a child, now a son, you begin to tell everybody around you, you mean you don't know my son? Nobody asks, you mean you don't know my child? Everybody asks, don't you know my son? Very shortly, God will become fully proud about you. When a child goes to university and matriculates, there is little or no ceremony, so to say, but on graduation day, you see the father's cap. You see the father's dress, heavy dress that he has sewn, because his son has now graduated. He has become proud that all his labor in the past is not in vain. Very shortly, beginning from now, God will become proud about you. So even Jesus was not revealed until he became a son. And the same process that John followed was what Jesus followed. In this same chapter, in chapter 2 of this same Luke, in verse 40 and verse 52, the Bible says the same thing about Jesus. And the child grew. Chapter 2 verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. You know why you need to wax strong in spirit? Because the blessings that God wants to pour upon you, you need a capacity. To wax simply means to strengthen. It simply means to build up. It simply means to grow up. He was once a child, but he needed to grow in spirit. And spirit represents sonship. God is happy that we are his children. But he will be more excited when we become sons. We have come into an era where God is not only rearing children, but he is raising sons. It's time for you to become one of the bona fide sons of God. And upon this mountain, that shall be established in your life. What are we saying this morning? It takes spiritual stamina for you to manifest. Your spiritual stamina determines the degree of your manifestation. The higher you grow in the spirit, the wider the spread of your manifestation. The wider the spread of your manifestation. There are people today God has appointed to be apostle over continents. Some others, they are apostle over their nations. Some others, they are apostle over the state where they are, depending on their stamina. There are pastors of churches, there are pastors of cities, there are pastors to nations, there are pastors to continents, depending on the capacity that they build up. And it will interest you to know that nobody can build capacity for you. Growth is a personal responsibility each person must take on himself. My father in the faith lost me so much, but he will never grow me for me. He can inspire me, he can impart grace upon me, but I still have the responsibility to grow by myself. Wonderful parents, no matter how much you love your child, you cannot grow for him. That child has to grow for himself. Our greatest undoing is that we keep waiting for people to help us to grow. You can give your child food to eat, but you cannot grow for the child. We can give you God's word in the church, but we cannot grow for you. That's why you find two people, for instance, have been in church for 15 years. One is still crawling like a baby. Headache today, backache tomorrow, toothache the next day. The other one is vibrant, showing the devil the way out. What is the difference? One accepted the responsibility to grow, the other is crying like a baby. And you know what happens in a family when somebody refuses to grow? They abandon him. Am I saying something? They abandon him and focus on the one that is growing. So growth from this perspective does not even depend on age. It's a matter of accepting responsibility for your life. There is somebody here this morning who is telling the devil, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm taking my life in my hand. Enough is enough. Help me tell your neighbor, nobody can grow for you. You have to grow by yourself. You know why you have to grow? Because according to Galatians chapter 4 verses 1 and 2, it said, and an heir, for as long as he is a child, is not better than a servant. He is under tutors and teachers. They can molest him, they can harass him, they can push him to the floor. An heir. He said a child, even though he's an heir, is not better than a servant. He is under tutors, he is under harassment. You need to break loose from all the harassments of the devil around you. It will interest you to know that your problem is not the devil. Your problem is that you are not growing. Satan has grown all that he will ever grow. Hear this again. Satan can't grow beyond his present level of growth. But what a joy. You have all that you can grow to become. He has finished growing. You are still growing. It's time for you to grow. It's time for you to take your place. It's time for you to be shown forth, to be revealed to your world. And very shortly from now, it will come to pass in your life. An heir is a potential owner. An heir is a rightful owner of inheritance of his parents. And you know what the Bible tells us? That when we are born again, there is an inheritance that God has given to you and I, but will not be delivered to you beyond your level of growth. Looking at it again from the natural perspective. A 10-year-old child in a house, in a rich house, has all the properties belonging to him. If his father has 10 cars, all the 10 cars potentially belong to him. But no matter how hard he prays, the father will never give him a key to any of the cars. For what reason? He has not grown. There are things that belong to you that may never be delivered to you until you grow. So as it were, God is waiting for you. He's waiting for you. And the whole world is waiting for you. Waiting for your manifestation. Waiting for a time when you will grow and it can be delivered to you. This is why you have to grow. Growth is mandatory. If you don't grow, you will groan. The reason why many of us are crying today is because we have not grown the way we should grow. Let somebody here this morning take up the responsibility. It is time for me to grow. There are many, many blessings of God waiting for you that may never be yours until you grow to the level where it can be delivered to you. Many of us whose children are grown up today used to have stewards in our homes, house helps, and when your child was little, you gone to work, you prepare food and give to the house help to give your child to eat at 11 a.m., the housemaid can look at the child and push him aside. Knock his head. Kick him. Carry the food and say, this is your food, but you won't eat it. I will eat it. And the child will be crying, but there's nobody to help. But as the child grows, and the height is catching up with the auntie's height, the harassment is reducing. The noise is reducing. And when the child, once a child, now growing up, when he is coming, the auntie passes by his side with style. Because the child is growing. Satan is afraid of your growth. Because he knows very shortly you'll be knocking him on the head. And when he is fully grown, you'll hear the auntie greeting him, good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. I was once your auntie. I used to harass you and beat you. But now I can't move close to you. Good morning, sir. That is how Satan will be greeting you very shortly. That little child that was being harassed, all he needed to do was to grow. And now that he has grown, he earns respect from everybody around him. From now, people around you will respect you. All of the sicknesses that used to harass you, all of the diseases that used to molest you, the business failure that used to molest you, all you need to do is to grow. As you keep growing, Satan will keep clearing off. Because he is aware that with additional stamina, you can knock him to the floor. And I know by the time we are finishing Shiloh this year, some of you will be looking for the devil to tear him into pieces. A few years ago, one young man was told that he had a few more months to live. According to him, he traveled from Lagos to Kaduna then. And while he arrived Kaduna, something told him, let me look for my townspeople so that if I died, I can have people to bury me. And so he did that. And something else told him, look for a church. And he came to church. and good enough, we had a 3-day program running. And when he came to church, he had the first day teaching. He began to adjust himself. The second day teaching, he adjusted himself. The third day teaching, after the third day teaching, he said, "Satan, where are you? I want to engage you in a fight now. Where are you? I want to kill you now." When you grow, your confidence is enhanced. When you grow, the boldness of your face changes. When you grow, your language changes. You don't beg again, you speak authoritatively. From now, you will not beg Satan again. From now, you will not negotiate with Satan again. It's time for you to grow. It's time for you to grow. And one of the major ways by which we grow is by the word of God. God's word is a builder of God's people. God's word builds us. Paul the apostle, a great builder, said this in Acts of the Apostle, chapter 20, verse 32. He said, "And now I commend you unto God and unto the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Remember, we had said that to wax strong in spirit simply means to grow up, to develop your muscles, to strengthen your nerves. And Paul said, the word of God is able to build you up. The word of God is able to build you up. Listen to this. There is the place of prayer and there is the place of the word. Both of them work together. But we have to understand how they function. Prayer may bring healing to you, but the word will establish you in health. Prayer may give you immediate relief, but the word of God that you build upon establishes you in your place and destiny. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and after building you up, will give you your inheritance among them which are sanctified. So before your inheritance is given to you, there must first of all be a build up. Capacity before content. Not all cars you see on the road have the same capacity. There is 1.4 capacity. There is one car they call Picanto. You don't drive that kind of car on a major highway if the wind of trailer blows against it. They may find it in spare parts. So there are Picanto Christians. They can't go on the major highway. They go within the town. They are confined. And there are 2.0 capacity, 4.0 capacity, and different grades accordingly, depending on how the manufacturer had built it. And God is our manufacturer. We can take our small capacity to him and take it to his word, for the word to build us higher, stronger, and greater than where we are today. In the world of the spirit, there is no limit to growth. There is no graduation in growth. The more of the word you receive, the more you grow. And the more you grow, the more the capacity you increase. And the more the capacity, the more the inheritance that is delivered to you. commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So the principal mission of the word of God is to build you up. To build you up. Jesus speaking. He said, the word which I speak unto you, they are spirit, they contain life. And remember where we are coming from? We are coming from talking about waxing strong in spirit. So when you are receiving God's word, you are receiving God's spirit. You are receiving the spirit of God. As that word enters into you, it becomes spirit inside you to get you waxed. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2. And the spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and put me on my feet to manifest. God's word is the builder of our destiny to become sons that will manifest. God's word is our builder. God's word is our builder. God's word is our builder. And as you are building on God's word upon this mountain, Shiloh 2008, by the time we are closing, you will ask Satan, Satan, unto anywhere you find them, you will break his neck. Anywhere you find them, you will tear him into pieces. You are building to show up. You are building in the world to show up in the world. You are building in the world to show forth to your world. There is no one who completes this process that does not show forth to his world. If you read the story of Jesus furthermore in Luke chapter 4, beginning from verse 15 to the end of that chapter, the Bible tells us that Jesus, as his custom was, went to the temple, he went to the synagogue for to read the word. And it was in the process that the book was delivered to him, where he found what was written about him, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. It was until that point, it was not until that point that Jesus discovered his mission. Or rather, it was not until that time that Jesus came into the fullness of his mission. For 30 years, the carpenter shop was holding him down when the whole world was waiting for him. He was confined to the carpenter shop until that day when he opened the book to read, and there he found where it was written concerning him. And from that day, the Bible says, all eyes were on him. When you discover what is written about you, the whole world shifts attention on you. It is what God reveals to you that reveals you to your world. It is what God shows to you that makes you a show to your world. All eyes came on him from that day. And they began to say, is this not the carpenter's son we used to know? And they were all amazed at the word of grace that came out of his mouth. And as he went forth, he saw demons and began to torment them and cast them out. Manifestation commenced after he was fed in the word. Have you not read from Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15? I will give you pastors after my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it will come to pass thereafter that you will know more fear. The cheapest way to destroy your fear is to grow up. To grow up. When you grow up, you have nothing more to fear. Paul the apostle went to Arabia to go to prepare himself for manifestation. While other apostles were in Jerusalem, Paul the apostle had gone to Galilee, had gone to Arabia to build up himself. And by the time he returned, you know what they were saying about Paul the apostle? They said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here. When you are properly built up, you begin to destroy the installations of the devil. You begin to cause row everywhere you go to. And that is going to be happening to you As soon as we are done with Shiloh 2008, all the troubles that you left at home before you arrive, they will be running away for you. All the devils who have been standing on your way, as soon as they see you coming, they will be clearing up for you. Before Jesus had that encounter, there was no news that demons saw him and ran away from him. But as soon as his status changed, by reason of a build-up, all demons that sees him start screaming, "Have you come to destroy us before our time?" Everywhere you have been intimidated and harassed before now, at your return, all the devils will be running away from you. You know, witches and wizards can come to oppress you because they have not seen anything inside you to stop them. But after this event, even the breath of your nostrils will be chasing them out. You need to build such stamina that even devils can't come close to where you are. There was a young man who said his child was being tormented all through the night. They couldn't sleep. And the wife said, early in the morning, "Let's go and meet our pastor." And according to them, as they were coming to my house, about 500 meters away, the child stopped crying. Because the devil that was tormenting that child knew where they were going to. He knew the stamina of the man they were going to meet. So he said, "Look, I can't go there, I can't go there, I can't go there." When you grow up, all the devils are afraid of you. From now, all who torment you shall be far away from you. So God's word is the primary agent for building us up, for waxing us strong in the spirit, preparing us to be revealed to our world. And it will interest you to know that God's word has different nutritional content depending on what you take. It is the quality of the intake that determines the strength of the output. In Proverbs chapter 24, verses 5 and 10, verse 10 beginning, he said, "If you faint in the days of adversity, don't blame anybody. It is because your strength is little." And in verse 5, he says, "A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength." So it is by the knowledge of the word of God that you increase your strength. The process begins with milk. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. He said, "As newborn babes, that you should desire the sincere milk of the word of God." And you all know what milk does. Milk is essentially for babes. There is a stage you reach in your life, you can't be feeding on milk. Your strength will not be formed. Your muscle will be deformed. You will be like a kwashoko child because you are not feeding on the right manner. Spiritually speaking, I was like that before. I was in a denomination. They offered the best of their teaching, but it came to a point I wasn't satisfied again. So I had to shift base to where I will receive better nourishment. Many of us seated there, we need to graduate from the realm of milk to go into a higher realm. Next to the realm of milk is the realm of meat, which, if you like, we also call bread. "For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord." So from the level of milk, you go to the level of meat or the level of bread. Matthew 4:4, Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." The quality of intake determines the effect of the output. And from there, the Bible talks about the strong meat. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. You need something stronger than ordinary meat. You need to take the strong meat. And thereafter, in the categories, you also need to go for the honey of the word of God. That is where life becomes sweeter than ever before. That is where you begin to live as if Satan does not exist. That is where you will be living as if problems are not there on ground to torment you. I've had God's servant say, sometimes ago somebody asked him, have you ever had any problem? And he answered the person back. He said, maybe it came, I didn't know. Maybe it came, I didn't know. Because I'm living in the realm of honey. Every day is sweet. Everything that Satan plans to work for my evil, God turns it into sweet for me. There is that realm you need to get into, where you molest the devil and make all his efforts get frustrated. Proverbs 24:16. He said, my son, get the honey and take it, and it shall be a refreshing for your soul. And when you find it, there shall be the reward, and your expectation shall not be cut off. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. That is what the word of God does for us. Receiving God's word is receiving God's life, receiving God's spirit, enabling us to confront all the opposition that stands on our way. For you to be effectively fed, you need a craving in your soul. You need a hunger in your soul. You need a thirst for the word. As newborn babes that you desire, you crave for the word. You seek to know more than you have ever known. Many of us have become complacent. We fold our hands and assume too many things. God doesn't force his word into us. It is we who go in search of the word according to the level of our needs. And the more we search, the more we find. And the more we search, the more we get to discover that we have not known yet as much as we should do. God's word, God's word, God's word. As you go for it all the time, you find yourself growing up, waxing strong in the spirit, taking what belongs to you. Upon this mountain, Shiloh 2008, I'd like to encourage us furthermore to open our hearts to the word of God. The devil that was pursuing you before you left home will discover that there is a change of level inside you. All the problems and troubles that used to harass you before, at your return, you will no longer find them there. All the devil that used to sit on your shoulder before, harassing you, talking to you, by the time you are done with Shiloh 2008, you will find them right back under your feet. As soon as God was done with John in the wilderness, straight on, he came on declaring the word of God, and my Bible tells me that the entire city moved to the wilderness. They moved to the wilderness to listen to him. Everyone who needs to hear you will soon be moving closer to you. Every blessing that belongs to you, they will soon be moving closer to you. John didn't go to preach in the city, yet the whole city was moved in his direction. You know why? He had become strong. He had waxed strong in spirit. When you have grown up, you become self-announcing. You become self-advertising. People start looking for you. Business people grow in the world. When you grow in the world, businesses will be looking for you, not you looking for businesses. When you grow in the world, people will be giving you work of their own accord. Not because you are anything special, but because you have become an attraction to them. Everything that you are looking for, up till date, will soon begin to look for you. You are blessed of the Lord. And like Paul the Apostle said again, I commend you unto his word of grace, which is able to build you up and give you your inheritance among them which are sanctified. Upon this mountain, you are taking the fullness of your blessing. Now rise to your feet with me. Raise your hand with thanksgiving to the Lord. Begin to desire of the Lord that you will grow beyond where you are. Begin to make your declaration. I give myself to what it takes to grow. I give myself to what it takes to grow. I give myself to what it takes to go. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Do you know that the elephant child does not need to pray to become a mother elephant? All that the child elephant does is to be feeding as the mother elephant is feeding. I don't have to pray, Lord, make me like my father, Bishop Oyedepo, make me grow like him. No. What do? I see the way he feeds on the world. And I begin to do the same. And as he keeps growing, I also keep growing at my own level. And keep seeing manifestation at my level. That's what you need to do. So let us follow the way of our fathers. Our fathers are growing. That's why they are manifesting. If you also start growing, you start manifesting. And suddenly you see that baby elephant also begin to throw the tusk around a tree. When the mother elephant brings down a tree, the small elephant brings down a shrub. Today he's bringing down a shrub, tomorrow he will bring down a tree. The things you see our fathers in the faith do today, very shortly you will begin to do it and even more. And now receive the grace of God to grow. Receive the grace of God to accept the discipline to grow. And upon this mountain you will walk stronger in the spirit. So shall it be for you. And everybody who believes is blessed, say loud amen. Give Jesus a big hand, everybody.
Tabernacle there, and the land was subdued before them.